It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This past summer, Claire Lombardo, a graduate of the Iowa Writers Workshop, released her debut novel, The Most Fun We Ever Had. It became a bestseller, and in October, we learned that HBO has purchased the rights to the novel, and they're planning on turning it into a series. In a few minutes, I'll talk with Lombardo about this new development, but first, let's listen to a few minutes from the conversation we had in July when the novel came out. The Most Fun We Ever Had spans four decades in the lives of the Sorensen family, a mother and father who are deeply in love, and the messy, complicated lives of their four daughters. Claire, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And let's start by introducing the Sorensen family a little bit. I mentioned mom and dad, who can seem a little too good to be true. Yeah. They are a couple who is deeply, deeply in love throughout their entire lifetime. Tell me a little bit about them.
They've been married for, they have their 40th anniversary about mid-book in the present arc. They meet in Chicago in the 1970s. David is a pre-med student and Marilyn is an English major. And they sort of just fall quickly and very deeply in love and then kind of embark on this sort of haphazard journey together. So we go back in time in the book to sort of watch how their relationship evolves. And it sort of becomes the thing that the shadow that's kind of cast over their daughter is this relationship that they can't ever seem to get to themselves.
To live up to.
Yes.
Yeah. So I know you selected a little something to read that introduces us to Marilyn.
Yeah.
Can you read that for us?
Absolutely.
Okay. You can hear the book. It's a substantial.
Yeah.
It's a hefty
book,
object.
Right. It swept in with the spring like a melting quietude, a kind of solace Marilyn hadn't known since, well, ever, honestly. In utero, maybe, but probably not even then, given her mother's penchant for Tanqueray, given the laxity of the 1950s, whichever you wanted to blame. Life was good. Her life was good. The hardware store was doing well, and she was sleeping better than she ever had, and her legs had nearly regained the limber give of her girlhood because she rode her bike to work, and her pansies were flourishing a bright vermilion burst in the built-in box on the front porch. She, for once, would have been flying high were it not for the tethers of her family. Marilyn Connolly, who'd have thought, a business owner, a certified non-smoker for nearly 15 years, an occasional churchgoer, proprietress of the most beautiful rose bushes on Fair Oaks. She was wondering if perhaps she was in her prime, although she wasn't entirely convinced that one was allowed to have a prime when one was the mother of four. She was, instead of flying high like one of those giant kite people they flew outside of the gas station on Ridgeland Avenue, a big vinyl body swaying in the breeze, trussed to the ground by thick umbilical ropes. A few minutes of bliss, and suddenly it was the irritating jangle of her phone and an, oh my God, Mom, or a knock at the kitchen window with a mouthed, where's the rake, honey? She put her bike on the porch and stopped to pull some dead leaves from her potted plants. Stop there.
So that is Claire Lombardo reading from her novel, The Most Fun We Ever Had. So you mentioned already the current arc and the historical arc. So we are catching up with this family in present day. We also go back in time to when Marilyn and David first meet. And you mentioned David is a pre-med student. So they move to Iowa City.
Mm-hmm.
And a portion of the novel takes place in Iowa City. And then they later move back to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the novel takes place in the Chicago area. And let's just introduce the rest of the family. So we're taking stock of Marilyn's life at this point where David has just retired and she is beginning to find an identity outside of the house. She's been a stay-at-home mother of four daughters for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls, the women at this point, are all struggling with different challenges. So tell me a little bit about the daughters.
Sure. So there's four girls. They have Marilyn and David have two daughters, or they're Irish twins within a year. So Wendy is the oldest. And in the present arc, Wendy is recently widowed and kind of a mess, having a pretty hard time of things, and very, very wealthy, so able to sort of sustain those not so good things. And then Violet is their second daughter, who is a litigator turned stay-at-home mom, who's having some struggles in her own life. And then Liza is their third child, who is she is a psychology professor at the University of Illinois who gets tenure at the beginning of the book, but has a severely depressed boyfriend, and then finds out she's pregnant. And then Grace is their sort of afterthought belated child, who is she's just graduated from Reed College and gets rejected.
Adrift.
Yes, she is adrift for sure. Yes.
She wants to go to law school, but she hasn't been, or thinks she wants to go to law school, hasn't been accepted into any law schools, but also didn't try very hard to get into law school, and is just trying to figure out who she is and where she fits in the world. And as you explore Marilyn at this point in her life, she's also reflecting on these daughters. I mean, she spent so much time raising these girls to be the women that they are, and yet finds them still in crisis, still needing her in a lot of ways.
Yes, and I think that's a big part of sort of Marilyn's trajectory as, you know, a woman in her 60s is kind of like, oh, God, I thought I was supposed to be done with this by now, and sort of realizing that she says at some point in the book, you know, there's no such thing as winning as a parent. So she still sort of has these reluctant adults to deal with because her kids are kind of all at different points of unrest. Yeah.
Well, and from the outside, you look at this family or people in their community look at this family with this loving partnership between husband and wife and a stay-at-home mom who seems very devoted to her children. But you kind of explore Marilyn's, I wouldn't call it ambivalence, but there is conflict within her. I mean, she dedicated her life to raising her daughters, but she also gave up a lot of herself to do that. Tell me more about what you wanted to explore with that.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it's a sort of unique, I think it's something that a lot of women face, a lot of parents face. And I think with Marilyn, I sort of had this life comes at her very fast at a very young age. And so she is kind of, I think, balancing. She has the thing she wants, which is this, you know, this partner that she loves more than anything else in the world. But then she also gets accidentally pregnant and has to kind of give up this other part of herself. And we see her sort of, I think, channeling her inner English major when she, you know, talks to her kids. And it's definitely, I think, sort of a ghostly thing that she's left behind, and then is in the present arc kind of trying to look for that again, trying to find ways to sort of assert her independence. She buys a local hardware store and sort of pursues that. So I was just interested in, you know, seeing what that looked like, seeing what it looked like to have someone who makes decisions for certain reasons and then isn't entirely happy with the outcome, but has to kind of keep on with it. So
you've gotten some really great advanced publicity from the New York Times and various other places. How does that feel?
Really weird. It's great. It's I keep sort of waiting to wake up and realize that it's all been some sort of fantasy that I've cooked up. But no, it's been really, really wonderful. I would love to say that I'm a writer who doesn't read her reviews and like doesn't, you know, care what people think. But of course I do. And it's been just really gratifying and really, really, I just feel very, very lucky to, you know, I mean, it's a big book, as we've said and heard it like clomping on the desk. So it's, I take it as a very, you know, I'm very grateful when anyone takes the time to, you know, dig into 530 something pages. So it's been really wonderful. It's been incredibly surreal. Yeah.
When you have a jacket blurb from Richard Russo, and I can, your book falls into the same genre, I feel, as many of his books, his sort of epic family dramas.
Thank you. So,
I mean, that must have been a thrill.
Oh, well, yeah. Empire Falls is one of my all-time favorite novels, and to have him just—I mean, to have him even—I asked if I could send him a copy, and that enough was like, I'm good. Like, I can retire as a writer because Richard Russo is holding my book. But yeah, to have him be so kind about it was really, really extraordinary.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. We've been listening back to my July conversation with author Claire Lombardo. That was when her debut novel, The Most Fun We Ever Had, had just come out. It turned out to be a bestseller. And back in October, news broke that HBO had purchased the rights to the book to develop it as a series. This seems like the perfect time to check back in with Claire, and she is on the line with me now. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And congratulations, what a year you're having.
Thank you. Yeah, it has been a lot happening.
So tell me where you were when you got the news about HBO purchasing the rights.
You know, it's a very Iowan story, actually. It was about a year ago, and I was literally lost in a cornfield, which happened to me a lot because I used to drive around a lot when I lived in Iowa City. Because it kind of helped my thought process when I was working on things. So I would just sort of take these long drives out in the country. And I was in the middle of one of them, and I had gotten lost. And my agent called me. And she said, you know, I have really good news. HBO is interested in the book. And I said, who's HBO? Like, it was just so far off my radar that that would even be a possibility. So that was about a year ago. And there's been a lot, you know, a lot sort of in the intervening months. So it's been really surreal and very exciting. Yeah.
So that was a secret you had to sit on for a very long time.
A very long time. Yes. It was very difficult. Yeah.
Wow. So tell me a little bit about your role in the series and the options that you had with that, because of course, writers are not always involved in turning their work into the product that we'll see on the screen. But you decided that you wanted to be involved?
I did, yeah. We were lucky enough to have several, both production companies and broadcasters, who are interested in the book. And HBO was the one who sort of said, you know, we want you to be as involved as you want. We would love for you to write it if you want. They were very, very sort of open-minded and enthusiastic kind of from the get-go. So I ended up going with them because I sort of went back and forth because I am, you know, I'm working on another novel and that's, you know, I'm a teacher. Those are sort of the roles I've known primarily in the last few years. But I thought it sounded like sort of a fun new venture. I'm a very dialogue heavy writer. And so writing for TV sounded like sort of a logical leap. So it's been a really fun and actually very collaborative process, which is so different from being alone in your house writing a novel.
Yes, So Amy Adams and Laura Dern are executive producers of the series.
Yeah.
So those are some incredibly talented big names attached to the project. But what does that mean as executive producers? What will their involvement be?
Thus far, they've actually both been very kind of hands-on involved just in kind of imagining sort of our, you know, our collective vision for the show. And when we get sort of, you know, we consult with them as we're working on the script and as we were working on the outline for the script previously. And I think their involvement will be sort of a lot more heavy-handed. I don't mean that in like a negative way, but a lot, you know, more prevalent when we're actually, you know, shooting if we get to that point. So in terms of who's going to direct, who's going to act, like sort of choosing the sort of key players and helping to execute the vision of the show overall.
Well, and of course, a lot of things have to happen between now and then. But what is the timeline? When could we actually potentially see this series?
I wish I had a good answer. I do not know. I'm hoping, you know, fingers crossed, sometime soon. We are writing I just actually finished a draft of the pilot yesterday. So we are moving forward with that. And then there's lots of steps from, you know, between writing the pilot to sort of having a vision for an entire season and then having visions for the subsequent seasons. But then there's also, you know, casting and directors and, you know, making sure, you know, I think there's a lot of deaths that occur in the process from, yeah, you know, the adaptation process. I've heard a lot of stories, so I'm just sort of keeping my fingers crossed that we will move forward. It's been, you know, thus far a lot of good signs, a lot of really good people who are excited and, you know, working hard for this project. So I'm just kind of keeping my head down and hoping that keeps up.
So You also are going through the process right now of the book is coming out in other languages, other countries around the world. Tell me what's happening with that.
Yeah, I think we've sold it in 11 countries now. We just sold it in Russia, which was sort of a surprise to me. But it's been, that's kind of been happening along the way, which has been really exciting. And I've had just really interesting conversations because I've had people tell me, like, this is such an American book. It's about this, you know, very American family. But I was in Frankfurt for the Frankfurt Book Fair a couple of months ago and, you know, was talking to different journalists, and some were like, you know, this is such a quintessential American story, and I didn't really relate to the characters. But then there's others who are like, oh, no, like, these are just people. And so it's been interesting to kind of...
Family drama is universal.
Right. We all have that. So it transcends boundaries for sure.
So, and in the midst of all this, you're also trying to work on your second novel?
I am, yes.
How's that going as an eager
it's going
reader?
Okay. Thank you. It's going okay. I'm self-inflicting of harm when I'm working on projects. So I've set a deadline of January 1st to have a draft of it. I don't know if that's going to happen, but cross your fingers for me. But it's the book I was working on in workshop when I was at the writer's workshop. So it's been fun to kind of, you know, and I graduated 2+ years ago. So it's been fun to kind of return to those stories that I was having so much fun with when I was in grad school. I'm hoping it'll come together. And it's been, you know, I like having multiple projects going on at once. So it has been nice.
That's
to sort
good.
Of have the, yeah, yeah. Thankfully, that works out for me.
Well, congratulations on everything. And we will be checking in the future. I can't wait to see how things turn out.
Oh, great. Thank you so much. Me either.
Claire Lombardo, the author of the best-selling novel, The Most Fun We Ever Had. We were just talking about the television adaptation that will be forthcoming, who knows when, from HBO. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio. Our producers are Matt Alvarez, Rick Brewer, Caitlin Harrop, and Dennis Reese. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe.